It's no secret that this current market makes being a recruiter all the more difficult. Fear not. On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we'll talk about what recruiters can do to stay engaged. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is not only a keynote speaker, executive coach, and president of the Florida Staffing Association, she's also the founder and principal of the Kelly Merbler Company. She's Kelly Merbler. Kelly, did I get all your titles in there?
Yeah, you did. Just call me Kelly. That's who I am.
That's perfect. Well, you know, before we get started, if you can kind of give us an idea of how you got started in the staffing industry and what got you to this point with all these great titles.
Absolutely, Todd. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And staffing's in my blood. I've spent 23 years within the industry, and 21 of those years I spent within the staffing industry in one organization. I grew up in staffing. I learned all about business. I learned how to form client relationships, how to run P&Ls, and really how to build teams. So it started way back right after I graduated college, my first job in after seeing an ad in the newspaper. And yes, we had newspapers back then where I applied. And I was given the opportunity and was the first employee hired within the state of Florida when the company I said yes to was expanding their East Coast presence. So I literally started as the first employee in a ground floor opportunity in staffing. And that was for 21 years until about a year and a half ago. I launched out on my own to build my own coaching and leadership development enterprise that I do today.
Yeah, and that's one of the areas that I kind of wanted to focus on with you. You know, right now, it's a really tough time to be a recruiter. Unemployment's at record lows. And, you know, if somebody came to me right now and said, hey, do you want to be a recruiter? Nobody's really looking for jobs, but this is a great opportunity. I'd probably be a little hesitant. So I guess I want to start off with looking at things from the management side. How can staffing owners, staffing managers keep their recruiters engaged during these kind of talent shortage times?
Such a great question, and it is the purpose of why I went out on my own to start what I do today. And I work with a lot of staffing firms, both small and large, in this area. And let's start with what does engagement really mean? And I'm a Gallup certified coach, so a lot of the data I share today will be what I've learned through the Gallup organization. But being engaged really is not just being happy at work. I think a lot of people think engagement means they go to work and they're just really happy. But true definition of engagement is really feeling an emotional connection to the work that you do, and you're connected with the mission, vision, and values of your organization, and you want to do good for the organization. So first of all, to establish engagement with employees as a staffing manager, you have to start with a question, not an assumption. And I speak through a lot of the mistakes I made in my career when I was given responsibility of leading people. And what I share today is just very transparent, very truth spoken. But you have to ask the question and understand what your employees need first. You know, start with, what do you need? How can I best serve you? And what can I do to help you during this time, whether it's tough in staffing or how to take you to the next level, whatever that may be. But start with the question, because what I'll tell you is every single employee is very unique and they all see through a different lens and they have different needs. So don't assume that just by giving them a bonus or giving them a company trip, that is going to keep them engaged. It has to start with the individual and understanding what will keep them engaged in their specific mindset.
Is there a right way or a wrong way to go about that too? Is this a conversation that needs to happen in person? Can you do, you know, for larger companies, can you do an online survey? You know, what's the right tactic there?
Good question. So a lot of the firms and staffing that I engage with, I always start with the question, do you have an engagement survey within your organization? And it's interesting because some of them will respond back with, no, we didn't want to spend the money on that. Well, let's look at that. Sometimes you've got to spend money in order to keep the people that are, they're good people in the organization. So start with an engagement survey. And whether it's in person, where I do a few things with staffing companies now where we do a live engagement survey with their employees and really understand what is it that they see as going well in the organization. It doesn't always mean things are going bad, but what do the employees see that are going really well that they want to capitalize on as employees and keep on growing? And then also, what are the gaps in the organization? The best person to ask where your organization stands are the people that are sitting within the organization doing the job. So why not go directly to the source of who sits in the job and not just your top performers? I think a lot of employers think, let me just talk to my top performers. You need to touch each and every person because each and every person in your organization matters and contributes to the success of your firm. And if you're not asking those questions to everybody, then you're going to miss out on what they may see could be a key piece to employee engagement that you haven't even thought about.
So let's flip it around here and let's look at things from the individual recruiter side. Recruiters, you know, all employees, we can't just rely on our managers and our owners to kind of hand us everything. So as an individual recruiter, what can they do to keep themselves engaged?
I was in a situation myself, honestly. I was a highly engaged employee for many, many years. Top performer, always hit my numbers, loved what I did and loved where I was. But there came a point in my career, and I think everybody, I just think this is human. Everybody at some point in time in their career is going to possibly have a shift due to life experience. And maybe what was once very important to you or what was once important to me that kept me highly engaged may have shifted in where my focus goes. So how I kept myself engaged was I really looked at what I did best and I sought out ways for me to get better in those areas because think about it. If you're working in areas that you're really good at, you feel satisfaction. And that ties into engagement as well. And you want to do more of it. Versus I noticed the higher up the ladder I got as an employee in my organization, my job duties changed and it took me farther away from what I did naturally best. And that is exactly when my disengagement started kicking in. And I couldn't put a name on it. I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden, why was I feeling disengaged when for years, we're talking 15 years, I was highly engaged and excited to go to work on Mondays. But I really dug in and I really invested in learning more about who I was, what I did best. I got myself a coach, for example, and I really invested in having great mentors to help me understand what was missing and what could I do to work on myself that would keep me engaged. And it all tied back to really focusing on what my strengths were and really getting in that strength zone lane and focusing in those areas. So I found ways, for example, outside of my organization that would put me in those situations where I could focus on what I did best. Mm-hmm. And that's what kept me engaged during that time.
It's interesting from both sides of things. You mentioned investment, investment from managers, investment in yourself as a recruiter. Do you notice pushback there? And you kind of alluded to it in your first answer there, but do you get a lot of pushback from people that say, well, I don't have the time to invest, or I don't have the money to invest? And it, you know, I think people immediately think, well, this is gonna, when they hear invest, they think, well, this is going to cost a lot of money, or this is going to take a lot of time. But do these things, these tactics that you're talking about, is this a major undertaking, or can this be done fairly simply?
Such a great question, and it's one of the most common questions I get, because the word invest, yeah, people put their flag up and they're like, well, what do you mean? What's it going to cost me? Because, you know, companies want to make money, absolutely. But look at it this way. If you invest in your front line, it will absolutely impact your bottom line. And think about that. There are so many individuals within organizations, not just staffing organizations. I talk to all types of organizations. They're hungry for development. And especially where a lot of the workforce sits within staffing today, and what is going to get much bigger by the year 2025 is the millennial population. If you are not investing in development and coaching of that generation, but I think a lot of other generations are hungry for it as well, it's not just one, then they are going to look for it elsewhere. So you have to really internalize and say, do I want to keep and retain the stars in my organization that are really keeping my company moving forward, or is it worth, you know, that investment for them to go elsewhere? And I think it's a question that a lot of owners and staffing leaders really need to look within. You may spend some money, but what is it going to cost you if you don't?
That's a great question. I like the way you phrase that there. When you look at staffing leaders, and you deal with a lot of staffing leaders, staffing owners, what are the biggest blind spots that you see right now that staffing leaders really need to address?
I would say, this is my own personal opinion and what I run into the most, because I do speak with a lot of staffing managers and staffing recruiters and business development people as well. So I get kind of all angles that speak with me and hire me. And remember, everybody is very different. And what inspires one person is not going to inspire the next person. I'm going to give you a perfect, very vulnerable, transparent thought here from when I was promoted from an individual contributor to a leader of a team. It is very different. I thought if I led my team just by hitting my numbers and meeting my KPIs, they would all do well just alongside of me. And I focused a lot on just picking at them over the KPIs and really just focusing on the numbers that they delivered, where I didn't look at the individual person. And just because one person was motivated by money or a trip that a company gave them, the other person may have been motivated so much more by a card that I gave them that cost me a dollar. Yeah. And so a lot of staffing owners really need to think about these areas that they can't have blind spots in. And I think sometimes it's because they've been doing the same thing for so long. And you have to be careful when you do the same thing for so long. If you are not looking outside of the organization for people that can help you see what you do not see and hear what you may not hear and listen to those things that people can help you understand you might be missing, a lot of your staff may also feel pigeonholed. And if you've had somebody, especially in the smaller firms, but it could go in the larger firms as well, if you have leaders that have been in their positions for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and there's no sign of them moving up or areas for your younger leaders to move into because people just aren't going to move or there's nowhere for them to go, they are going to be looking for that area of growth. And if it's not within your organization and you're not painting that vision of where they can go and what they can do, and that's important to that employee, you are going to put a lid on your organization and how far you're going to take people and where your organization is going to go. And that truly, really sits strongly within, like I said before, the millennial generation. By 2025, Todd, the millennial generation will be 75% of our workforce.
Wow.
and you think about that, that is a huge wave of generation coming in. And what I've done in a lot of the clients I work with, I've done a lot of research and a lot of data behind Gallup that's helped me with this as well. But the number one thing when surveyed, what the millennial generation wants is leadership development and coaching. They don't need the fancy workspaces. That is the number one thing they want. And they want flexibility because they can get work done with technology the way it is today. And we have to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. It's something that we're dealing with here at Haley Marketing too, is how do we become more flexible? When I was preparing for our interview here, I was going through your website and I noticed a lot of talk about strengths-based culture. And I know we could probably spend an hour or two just on that topic alone, but if you can kind of give us just a quick thumbnail of, you know, how staffing owners can implement a strengths-based culture, because I think that's one of the areas that staffing firms kind of miss on a little bit.
There is so much opportunity here. And that is really what got me started, because I saw when I brought it into my own teams in the staffing company I worked for, what I really learned as a leader and also what I learned about my team as a leader. And it really shifted how I communicated with my team, how I communicated with everybody individually, and how I also learned how I shut down employees, because I didn't understand how they were wired. And that really closed the gap for me to help understand. So for example, I'm working with a staffing firm now that has already been using the Gallup tool called StrengthFinders. And what it does is it really assesses and it builds a profile for each individual of what are their most dominant talents in what they bring to your organization. And it's not that they play basketball well or they can play the piano. Talent is defined by Gallup as a natural, reoccurring thought, pattern, or behavior. It's how you're wired as an individual. And it's been within you ever since you've been very small. And you can trace it back, if we really look at your profile, where it all started within the person. So how can staffing owners implement a strengths-based culture? And what we're doing within this staffing organization is we are starting with the top level of leadership. And that is where it has to begin, with leadership alignment. So I'm working with that owner now on what their most dominant talents are and how they show up in the workplace for their employees and how they're possibly misjudged and how their talents are being overused as well and misunderstood. So we're looking at her first so she can understand and be more self-aware of herself, and then also get behind how helping her understand how she shows up can help her understand how her employees can be misjudged as well. So we start with her at the top level, and then we'll be working with all of her managers in the same way. What are their most dominant talents? How do they show up? How are they misunderstood? And how can they be used to be developed further within the organization so they keep engagement high by using their most natural talents and not being put in positions for succession planning that will set them up for failure if they're not using what they do best. And that's where disengagement is going to come in. And so it starts there at the top level. That's where the most success will happen. And then leading and funneling into the management team and then funneling down all the way throughout the organization. But it becomes a culture. It's a daily culture of communicating through their strengths, sitting around a meeting, for example, and really looking at the strengths that every team member brings when there's a project that comes about, whether it's a recruiting project or a VMS project, whatever that may be, or a client project, and determining based on the strengths within the employees that are working in this project, who is best to do what piece of this project. And then you want to watch some eyes light up in the room when they know they're going to work on things that they're good at. That's where I see the light bulbs go off and I see engagement increase and people get excited to go to work.
You know, it kind of, when you were mentioning about starting at the top, it reminded me of one of the favorite lines that I saw on your website is, leaders must look inward before they can reach outward. And I know for a lot of people, that can be a difficult thing to do, to really take a strong look at yourself and say, okay, where are my gaps right now? So what are some of the easiest ways for leaders to do that, to make it, you know, a little less painful?
And bring this right back to me. I had to be honest with myself, and I had to be vulnerable, and I had to be willing to listen to the feedback that my employees would give me. And a lot of leaders, they have that ego where they've been doing things for so long and they're successful at it. But what is happening is they're putting a lid on their leadership and a lid on the organization, because I've learned this from my mentor. It's called the law of the lid. And everybody in a leadership role has a lid within them. And it's the leadership ability that determines a person's level of effectiveness. And if I wanted to get better, I wanted my teams to get better, it had to start with me. So I had to look in the mirror and say, where am I really missing that my employees are telling me I need to work on? And then I had to be honest and say, if I want to get better, because I want to get better for them, then I've got to start with myself. And that's where my leadership growth really started. It started with me. And I think if you look at a lot of organizations, just in general, if you see a company that is doing really well, and there's some staffing firms that I've been inside that these are ones that I would definitely want to work with, but I watch what they're doing, and it all starts at the top. And if you see a company that's doing really well, look up. There is a leader that's leading that organization and doing something well. If you see a department that's doing really well, look up. That leader of that department is leading well. It doesn't happen by accident. And culture does not happen by accident. And if you see a team that's doing really well, look up. There's a leader of that team that's doing something right, that's funneling into the people that they are responsible for serving. So everything rises and falls on leadership is what I learned in the beginning of my growth journey. And it is absolutely true.
Yeah, definitely. You know, before we let you go here, I wanted to touch on one other thing. You've mentioned education opportunities a few times today. I'm curious, how do you learn? You know, what are the conferences or books or blogs or maybe even this podcast that everybody should be checking out to kind of further their careers and further their growth?
Sure. And I'm really big on self-development, but I'll tell you what, everybody's wired differently, like I said, and not everybody, you know, likes to go to conferences. Not everybody likes to, you know, have a coach. It just depends on the person. So for me, what I did within staffing, I started going to staffing conferences. Like obviously that's how I got involved in Florida Staffing Association. I wanted to learn from other staffing leaders that were successful and had run successful companies. So get around other people that are doing successful things, because success leaves clues. Ask them questions. I'm big on podcasts. So absolutely, if there's a podcast like yours out there, then listen to it. What does it take? You're driving to work every day. It takes 20 minutes. Learn it. I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning, for example. There is time in your day. It's a matter of finding, you know, where that time is, and it's right there in front of you, but you have to look for it and you have to just do it. So conferences, I read a lot of information, a lot of articles in staffing and in business in general. I surround myself with really successful people because I learned when you become the smartest person in the room, you better find another room. So I'm always looking for rooms where I am not the smartest person in the room and who I can learn from. And I just consistently am investing in my own development through even YouTube. Like I don't pay to watch YouTube, but so many people can get better just by watching videos and just taking the time to do that. It's simpler than we make it. But we don't look. It's not how many resources we have. It's how resourceful we are sometimes, Todd.
Hmm. A lot of good takeaways. I love what you said. If you're the smartest person in the room, change the rooms. And that's one of the reasons why we started this podcast, is because we may know a lot about marketing for the staffing industry, but there are people out there who know a lot more about the staffing industry, and we wanted those people to be able to share their success. So, Kelly, let me thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your secrets of staffing success. Before we go, if you could just let everybody know where to find you, how to contact you for more great information.
Absolutely. LinkedIn profile. So LinkedIn with me, it's under Kelly Marbler. I love LinkedIn and I use it a lot to connect with staffing owners and business owners and individuals in general with any questions. And also my website is kellymarblerco.com. So those are the two best ways to find me. And please reach out, ask any questions, and I look forward to connecting with you.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for your time today. We really appreciate it. I know our listeners probably got a lot of great take-home value from this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And Haley Marketing is a wonderful organization. So it's always nice to be a part of what you're doing.
Well, you've heard me say it before when we have guests like Kelly on. What more am I going to add to that conversation? Just great take-home value there from Kelly Marbler. She has a bunch of great one-liners, but two of my favorites there was the one that I mentioned about if you're the smartest person in the room, change rooms. Make sure that you're always learning from people who have more experience than you, who have more insight than you. And the other one was, it's not how many resources you have, it's how resourceful you are. You know, you can read every single book, every management book under the sun, but it's how resourceful you are in managing that information and how you gather that take-home information and apply it to your life. I think that really matters, and then that's the point of that statement there. So my big thanks to Kelly Marbler. Again, you can check her out, kellymarblerco.com. And, of course, you can always find us on all the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your phone, and HaleyMarketing.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Staffing Podcast, where we post all of our brand new episodes. That'll do it for us on this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. We will talk to you soon.